Hello and welcome to Guardians of Language and Country. I'm Donnie Johannesson, a Gurang Gurang and Cubby Cubby man. This series will showcase and discuss with traditional owners and custodians how traditional language is kept alive and recorded. There used to be over 250 different Aboriginal languages spoken across Australia and the Torres Strait Islands before white colonisation. The brutal history of white settlement has meant many of the languages have disappeared. What the mobs were speaking about on their own country, this is a big thing. I'm also joined by Cooking Allergies' Alden Lyle. This is episode number 2, and we are going to your country, Alden. Tell us about it.
Yeah, we're heading to Mossman. I'm a Cooking Allergy descendant on my grandfather's side, and on my mother's side, I'm a Kuku Taipan descendant. And we're going to be heading north of Mossman to Daintree, the Daintree Rainforest, to the traditional lands there called Wawu Dimbi. That's the Aboriginal name they have for the country there. Open country, a little like rural, thick rainforest, powerful open country, and very beautiful rainforest. And it was raining at the time too, so even makes it more of a rainforest. Yeah.
Let's use Cairns as the central location in far north Queensland. Where is Cooking Yalanji country from Cairns?
It starts around Mossman and heads up to Wodgil, and maybe a bit north of Wodgil, near Cooktown, around that Rossville-Cooktown area, the eastern Cookyalangi freehold land sort of starts, and their country starts from there down into Wodgil, the Aboriginal community, Wodgil Wodgil, Bloomfield, the white man name, and maybe just a little bit south of Mossman, and that's sort of where it begins.
Do you have some fond memories of this location?
Yeah, I grew up around Mossman. It's still pretty much the same small town, farming area. You know, just north of it, we had the Daintree country and very thick rainforest. We used to go hunting in the rainforest and stuff. And yeah, it's very, very powerful, scary, but beautiful rainforest. It's an amazing country to grow up in, and it's beautiful. So we're going to the Jubalbinna Rangers, the Jubalbinna Aboriginal Corporation, and they're going to take us just north now of Mossman to Wawu Dimbi and have a chat with them in the car and get on their country and see if we can explore it a bit, if it's not raining too much, and talk a bit about language and showcase the beauty of the Daintree region there for Cookyalangi.
Tell us about some of the people you met.
Some of the people we met was Trinity Clark. She's one of the board members for the Jubalbinna Corporation. She's really strong in language and learned from her grandparents and aunties and family growing up around Mossman, and it's just natural to her, and they speak very fluently, and we're going to hear from her a lot in this story. She's a big part of the story.
Hi, my name's Trinity. My grandmother was a Gugiyalanji and Gugunyungu woman, and my grandfather is a Lama Lama Ayapatu man. So my language is Gugiyalanji and Gugunyungu, so two languages from my grandmother.
How is a language kept alive?
So language is kept alive through speaking language. Language is communicative, and it belongs to country and community. And to keep language strong and thriving, it needs to be spoken everywhere on country, in the home, with family, on country, and all different aspects of life.
Trinity Clark and Michael Yateman took us out onto their country, and Trinity Clark, she can speak it fluently. She sat down with the other rangers and tried to give them, you know, lessons on the spot.
Negu buri.
Negu.
Yeah.
Negu. Negu. Buri.
So you just said negu, but it's negu.
Negu.
Yeah, negu.
Negu buri.
Declan.
Declan.
Yeah.
My name is Declan.
Yeah.
Negu buri Declan.
Yeah.
Alright.
Trinity told me also that she uses a handheld recorder, a Zoom mic, to record languages with family members and elders.
How good's that? Technology and mobs coming together to capture language, record and keep that data. That's just so important as part of Indigenous data sovereignty. But breath-to-breath transmission, Alden, what is that?
Breath-to-breath is just, that's another way of saying just learning it from family, naturally growing up, like myself, learning words and here and there and old I'll ask family, what's that? And then all of a sudden it becomes part of my vocabulary for the next 20, 30 years of my life. So if I'm hearing, you know, body parts or animals or nature names and stuff like that, it'll naturally become part of my language. Like, we just use it in sentences. It becomes natural in breath to breath. Advanced breath to breath is, you know, sitting down with your aunties and grandmas and just really listening and trying to talk in sentences fluently.
Language for Indigenous peoples, for EKY peoples, has been oral, so breath-to-breath transmission. But with that kind of being impacted through colonization, having technology there as a kind of safety measure, as a safety net to record and to get audio of language being spoken, of country speaking language on country, is really important.
So it's almost like a cultural yarning, that breath to breath.
Yeah, it's just like a natural life lesson, family to family. You're out on country, you're at home. It just happens naturally. You could be fishing and you're pulling up the fish on a line, and they'll be singing out guyu, and you'll say, what's guyu? And they'll say, that's fish. And, you know, or you could be home and they have a painting and they talk about it. And it's just naturally in breath to breath. Sometimes a family member might sit with you and tell you a few language names and stuff. Yeah, breath to breath. So I also asked Trinity how the community embraces language.
Languages felt really strongly in community. We have a lot of different towns, communities in our EKY country, in our footprint. And I think language is acknowledged as really important. And I think it's just a matter of approaching it strongly together as a nation to keep language alive and thriving.
How is language used in everyday life?
Yeah, so there's signage with our language across our country. There's been a few projects with that. There's language in schools, and then depending on the family, there's language in homes spoken sometimes fluently between generations. So grandparents, grandchildren, and then sometimes if language isn't known fluently by someone, it's just spoken with some words here and there, like Ombul, Gaba, it's hot, it's raining.
How hard is it to keep the language alive in the community?
I'd say it's quite hard right now because language is currently mostly spoken from the grandparent and great-grandparent generation, which means it's classified as severely endangered under the UNESCO Language Vitality Framework. That means in 5 to 10 years, most of our strong speakers, our fluent speakers, could be gone, and with them, our language. So our focus is creating new fluent speakers in the younger generation so they can be our core base of speakers to lead our language projects and to increase our language use and language fluency across all different domains and aspects in community and on country.
As I said in the intro, language is being lost by mobs, and even UNESCO has recognised this as well. So it needs to be something we keep, whether it's on a hard drive, in the cupboards, in books. We need mob to keep language alive, and that's so important, isn't it, Alden?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Getting that to the next stage too, on apps and books and the internet and all their families to learn. But like you're saying, so many scattered tribes and languages across the country, as you see on that Indigenous map, and that's only a minor representation. Within those tribes, there are like 8 to 9 maybe dialects possibly in some. So yeah, like I'm saying, getting that to that next level and for the next generation to use and learn.
And even just touching on my own mob, Garang Garang, they're trying to capture their language in so many ways, and also having little class sessions and tutorials and so on. So it's great to see as well. So it's happening in all parts in Queensland.
And yeah, some of the rangers are the ones in the front line of this, and they're doing a great job. And I spoke with Michael Yateman and how he's doing with language. And of course, Rainforest Country, rain was pouring down.
So, yeah, my name is Michael Yateman. I'm a proud Yalanji man. And I originally grew up in Cairns, Yarrabah. Then recently we've moved up to Mossman probably about 5 or 6 years ago. So my role at Jabal Binna is I'm a team leader for the foresters. So I manage both of the nurseries, and then I've got 4 other casuals on with me.
How is language kept alive?
Yeah, language being kept alive, I reckon, through our old people passing it down to us younger ones, and really just listening to storytelling and hearing what they got to provide. Getting together as a community and just sharing some of them stories amongst one another through language and culture. Yeah, I try to learn a bit of language and that every day as I work and learn new and more things daily.
Is the younger generation embracing language?
Yeah, well, I think they've started teaching language now in schools, which is really good. Getting the younger ones to learn Yalanji and that. I reckon technology helps with language a lot, like just being able to provide and share some of our knowledge through technology today. There's an app that you can get Yalanji language from and learn from as well.
My name is Declan Bowden. I'm a Jabal Binna Ranger and I'm a Googly Yalanji man from Mossman. I work with the foresters, so planting trees, maintaining them, watching them grow, you know, and then, just moving around the area, replanting spots.
How much do you see language around your family and stuff? Is it used in everyday life?
It's a lot more broken than it should be, I feel. You know, it's not really fluent as much anymore, and then, it's still very prominent though, like you'll get it a lot, like obviously with certain things.
What's your knowledge of language? How much do you know?
Pretty basics, just the basics, I'd say. I haven't spent that much time up here, so I've only picked up a few words. I know like hot and cold, like bumble and gwe gwe, and then animals, like basic animals like taraba, jadaga, wakal. Kind of picked it up from my mum because she uses it, broken English with just a lot of words and stuff and just everyday things.
That was Declan Batten. He's another Jabal Binna Ranger, a Cookie Yalanji man from Mossman. As we're learning in this series, the Rangers are a huge part of using language on country, repeating it and practicing it with others. Here's Trinity Clark again to explain how language changes.
There were many dialects of Yalanji before colonization. And today, for Eastern Googly Yalanji people, there's just 2 dialects, so Yalanji and Yolngu languages. We're talking about Wawu, and Wawu being your spirit. But Wawu is also like, we use it when we say Nge Wawu, or, if I love something, it's Nge Wawu Jire. I have lots of spirit. Just that etymology of words. And then Wawu Baje is river. And you just can kind of see the cultural perspective of Yalanji people when you look into our language and how we use our words and what they mean in a lot of different circumstances. Nandal is mouth, Nandal is close, and Nyandal is chop. So Nyandal, Nandal, and Nandal.
Nyangal, Nandal, and Nyandal.
Close, yeah. So Nya?
Nya.
Nyandal.
Nyandal.
Yeah, Nyandal.
Nyandal.
Yeah, but so, without the E, long E, it's just a quick...
Nyandal.
Yeah. Nyandal. I used to work nationally for First Languages Australia, and I got to see what other MOPs were doing around Australia and even internationally, and all the best practice models. And really that is the focus on language immersion. So full language immersion without any English or any other languages in kind of a safe space So it's learning the language traditionally the way our old people used to learn. They didn't need to learn our language with English as a supplement or as a instructor. They just learnt through breath to breath, mother to baby, grandmother to mother. And that's what we're wanting to implement now by creating new fluent speakers in the younger generations. So then when our old people pass away, we still have a strong core base of fluent speakers who are able to carry on this work and to speak our language across community.
Trinity worked for First Languages Australia, and so she really understands how languages are learned and how they are learned even now in a different time using technology.
Yeah, she definitely got to see a lot of communities and how they embrace it and use, you know, technology and learning their languages around the country. So I think she has a deep passion for it, and you can see it from, you know, her joy for it, her love for it, and the way she speaks it there.
The oldest culture using the newest technology. Love it.
Negungu gamba gamba binga binga majanji bubungo onane. My ancestors rest in rainforest country.
Here's Jabalbina ranger Bo Polke. He uses language fluently every day, and you'll hear that he has a connection with the country and with his family, which means he'll be one of the core speakers that keeps talking and keeps sharing and keeps the language alive.
My name is Bo Guyalindi Bama from Jalemba. I'm a ranger with Jabalbina.
Tell me about your role as a ranger. What do you do as a ranger being on country?
I help out replanting, re-veg around the area.
How is language kept alive?
I speak around the family with my aunties and uncles, little brothers, sisters, so it's a bit fluent.
Tell me about that. Like, what little conversations would you have with your family?
We just talk about go hunting and fishing and stuff. Like, every time we see a fish, we'll sing out Guyu.
What's some language words that you use in everyday life with animal and food, nature?
Jaraba. Got two language names for that, Jaraba and Guriala.
So what's Jaraba?
Jaraba, that's like snake. Guriala, yeah, same word. Fish, that's Guyu. Scrub turkey. Jarika, from sea turtle.
Sea turtle? What is called sea turtle?
Noya.
Noya. What about water or rivers?
Bana.
Bana?
Yeah.
We are hearing so much in this podcast series about the importance of teaching language in schools to kids. And Trinity certainly understands about practical nature of language in education and to keep it alive, to teach the kids. This is so important, isn't it, Alden?
Yeah, definitely. You can see it's going out to a few of the schools. I know it's going to Mossman, and it'll definitely, you know, have an impact on some of those communities if it's being taught in those schools. And she touched on how they're teaching it and how they're doing it in those schools. So, yeah.
Traditional language in the curriculum. That's what I'd love to see.
I think there's a real strong desire for language and a passion to, you know, get up and do language, speak language. But I think that the instruments of language learning, you know, in schools, we have language programs in schools and things, and in community, I just think that the instruments that they've been using has kind of been the way other languages have been taught in Australia in a classroom. So it's the way Japanese is taught, or Chinese, or, you know, these other languages. And when you look at those programs, there's never any fluency at the end of graduation. Our students across Australia don't become fluent in languages that they learn at school because they're not programs that model fluency. And so what we're trying to do now is we're trying to create programs that can model fluency, that can create new fluent speakers across all domains of language. So that's, you know, ceremony, that's kinship, that's hunting practices, that's conversationally speaking, that's our different areas of country. Yeah, so we're wanting to make sure that our curriculum systematically addresses all these different areas to create fluent speakers. So all the language that is known, all this knowledge, cultural, you know, richness is carried through to the next generations.
So Alden, we were on Kuku Yalanji country, your country. What did you take away from this?
a great sense of knowledge and pride, seeing how strong the language still is in my country and how it's developing and improving.
So a real takeaway for me in this episode is about fluency, how it's vital to create new fluent speakers so that speaking every day and every life continues. That wraps up this episode. Alden Lyle, thank you for taking us to your country, Kuku-Yalanji country. Our next episode takes us to Gaganji country in Yarrabah. That's 55 clicks east of Cairns.
Yes, so in Yarrabah, Gaganji country, we're hoping to have a look around the mountains a bit and check out the beaches and the ocean. And it's very strong there. The school lessons is a really big thing. So I think that's really great that they're teaching the kids there around the community.
Looking forward to it, Alden. Follow Guardians of Language and Country on the SBS app or wherever you listen to podcasts and share this episode with your mob, your friends and your country. Thanks to everyone who contributed to today's episode from the Jabalbinna Aboriginal Corporation, and thanks for listening. I'm Donny Johannesson. Catch you next time as we celebrate the Guardians of Language and Country.